Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's news radio.
It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's morning news is in, posting a deal on home security, and a pretty good deal it is. Hi, Matt.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, this is a Tech Tuesday Will's Ways to Save request that unfortunately I'm getting a lot of, not just home security, not just a surveillance camera, but an entirely comprehensive system that can deter an intrusion, scare away a potential thief. And more importantly, Bill, I don't know if you have this. I'm on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. Do a show for Amazon in the States. I'm Toronto and New York based. And I'm always worrying about my home and the people in it when I'm not there. Do you have that?
Yes. And the prevention part is what I like about what you put together as well. You know, just preventing someone from even thinking about it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you can go out for an errand and that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. And this is a deterrent system that also monitors your whole home with zero monthly fees. It's basically your whole home security system in a box. You get window sensors, panic alarms. You get a motion sensor. You get push alerts. The second something that you do not want to happen inside your home is detected, you get pan and tilt surveillance camera. It's an award-winning system that goes as far as once you alarm the system and you arm it on your way out, it can even manipulate your lights to make it look like your home when you're not.
Pretty easy to put together too, look like.
Yeah, it is unbelievably easy. If you want to watch the unboxing and see how this works, it is a foolproof setup as far as I'm concerned. No professional installation required. Mostly wireless, so there's no drilling or anything along those lines. You can check it out. It's a $400 to $500 system that I found for $199. It's really worth a look if you're someone that cares about your property. And, Bill, the best part is zero monthly monitoring fees.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. See the video, the report at WTAM.com, keyword save. Couple of clicks, you'll have the deal, and you'll feel a lot safer. Don't miss tomorrow because he's got a heck of an update for you. Watch him on 3 this morning, back here same time in the morning. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
Wills and Snyder, you get Mike Sports, 15 and 45 pass. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. The Cavaliers are in Detroit as they look to extend their winning streak to 3 when they meet the Pistons tonight. It's an 8 o'clock tip. Cavs are expected to have Dwayne Wade back and available for duty. He's been away from the team for the last two games. The Cavs and Pistons met Sunday at the Q. The Cavs will try to keep it going tonight. Now, the Pistons are going to be severely shorthanded. They made a big trade yesterday, acquiring all-star forward Blake Griffin from the Clippers for forward Tobias Harris, guard Avery Bradley, center Boban Marjanovic, and two draft picks. Interesting move for both teams. Now, it's not expected that Griffin will be available to play in tonight's game, so the Cavs just better have at it. 8 o'clock tip. You can hear it right here. Cavs come home then to meet the Miami Heat tomorrow night. Of note, last night in the NBA, Kyrie Irving scored 27 as the Celtics beat the Nuggets 111-110. Super Bowl teams met with the media last night in Minneapolis. Bill Belichick says,
"We got to do everything we can to play our best game on Sundays. That's what it's going to take to beat the Eagles. So that's our goal, is to play as well as we can and coach as well as we can on Sunday night. That's for all of us."
Pretty much the same soundbite every year from Bill, but it actually is the truth when you break it down, kind of like what he says, hey, do your job. Now, Eagles coach Doug Peterson respects all of that about Bill.
A lot of respect for Coach Belichick and what he's done and what he's accomplished, and I think just the way he goes about his business and handling his business and the way he handles the team and very just sort of matter-of-factly and always business-like, and I think that's important that you maintain that type of mentality with your football team.
So that was media night in Minneapolis. The countdown is now on to Sunday's kickoff for Super Bowl 52. Well, it was just a matter of time that the Indians would come to the day when Chief Wahoo was removed. Owner Paul Dolan told Terry Pluto that it was the most difficult decision that he's had to make as owner. Now, it was a compromise. Chief Wahoo will be around on merchandise that will be available, and the players will actually wear it this year, but no longer worn by the team after this upcoming season. Now, obviously, the caricature offends many. This has gone on for a long period of time. And on the other side, it is a logo that I know, including myself, many of us grew up on as Indians fans. But as we get to this point, and I know I heard the Nick Camino show, the Trib show, a lot of emotion out there. The bottom line, though, is the team. And the compromise for some is too much and not enough for many. But the bottom line, I believe, is the Cleveland Indians. And we support our team going forward. Coming up on at 5:45, Tom Brady doesn't want to cost a Boston radio host his job. That story coming up in sports. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
This is Bill Wills. Our Bill Zimfer joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Just last past weekend, finally had a chance to see the movie 12 Strong. Chris Hemsworth, it is about Special Forces, early days Afghanistan, just right after 9/11 when they were on horses in there trying to help the Northern Alliance. Bill, good morning. It's an excellent movie, and really for me it was a reminder of Afghanistan. And as you're reporting this morning, it is still a dangerous place, right?
Boy, it sure is. And you have to look at the whole situation, Bill, and say, here we go again. I mean, Afghanistan has now gone through four attacks over the last 9 days with over 130 people killed. The Taliban and ISIS each claiming responsibility for a pair of those attacks. And just an example of the situation that continues to be mired in disarray in Afghanistan. And you got to look at it and again wonder if the United States can do anything about it. On top of this, yesterday, President Trump, in a meeting with members of the U.N. Security Council of the White House, said that he does not like the idea of talks with the Taliban. He says, we will finish what we have to finish, even though most agree that victory can't be something the United States can achieve with the resources and manpower that we have in Afghanistan right now.
Bill, it seems that we have had success against ISIS, ISIL in Iraq. This may come up tonight because tonight's also the State of the Union address, right?
I think it will. I think this will be part of the State of Union address as he addresses global policies, this along with North Korea. But on top of all this, it is just so complicated in Afghanistan because the government there is in disarray. It is weak. It is disorganized. It is contested. You also have the issue of Pakistan, which has given safe harbor to some of these terrorist groups, and our relationship with them really at a low point since we decided we're going to withhold $255 million in military assistance to Pakistan. Situation not looking good. Doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon.
Bill Zimfer on it this morning. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
President Trump gives a State of the Union address tonight. Our political analyst, Steve Roberts, he goes into the chamber formally. He's already spoken there once to a joint session after he was inaugurated. But tonight goes in Commander-in-Chief, the President of the United States, but a lot of baggage, Steve.
Well, he sure does. Look, after a year, his popularity rating, Bill, is stuck just about where it's been all year, somewhere between 35 and 40%. That is the core group of Trump supporters, which seem to support him no matter what he says, no matter what he does. But clearly, that's not a majority. And clearly, historically, it's the worst record of any president since polling began in the mid-50s. So, it's not so much his policies, because the fact is the economy is doing very well, and all polling shows that there's a reasonably favorable view of his economic stewardship. The real problem is personal. The real problem are people not trusting him to be an effective leader. They worry about his temperament. They worry about his volatility. They worry about his the possible dangers that come from an explosive and emotional response to a problem. So as we go into the State of the Union, the single biggest questions a lot of Americans have about Trump are not the kind of policies he's going to talk about. It's the man behind those policies that worry them.
The setting as well, you're going to see immediate and hear immediate reaction from both sides of the aisle, and that'll be gauged carefully as well, right?
Well, yes, I've covered many of these. I'll be on the air for ABC Radio, and I've covered dozens of these. They're pretty formulaic. And the truth is Donald Trump does reasonably well on the set pieces where he reads from a prompter. He follows the message and doesn't step on his own lines. It's the hours and days afterwards that worry a lot of Republicans and Trump supporters, because he has a very clear track record of exploding with temperamental tantrums over Twitter that are not scripted, not controlled, and that's what worries a lot of his supporters. But I expect at the speech for him to make some gestures towards bipartisanship, particularly on the issue of immigration, which is front and center. Also on the issue of infrastructure, which is something a lot of Democrats want. There's disagreements how to pay for it, but everybody understands that you spend $1 trillion on improving roads and bridges. That's a lot of jobs for a lot of voters.
Political analyst Steve Roberts with a preview of the President's State of the Union address. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, my friend.
Catherine Bosley, catherinebosley.com. We talked yesterday about the book Bare Facts that you're working on. And if you missed the conversation we had yesterday, it's up on our podcast too at wilsonsnyder.com and the podcast page for the iHeartRadio app. Tech and privacy, though, let's talk about this some. In the palm of someone's hand, you can communicate with the world, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And the world can see you,
it's
right?
It's fantastic
and
in
what
that
you're
way,
doing.
Right?
Exactly. But there's also responsibility with that.
There's a great deal
of
responsibility.
Let's get into that some today.
Right. I don't think that people realize that they could actually get in such trouble with what they do with that phone until they're in trouble with it, or until someone else has put them in trouble and took a picture of them that they really didn't see happening out there. So there is a big issue out there I don't think people are aware of most of the time. So I'm really big here on making sure that people realize the importance of protecting your online and your social media image. Again, it can make or break you. Social media can be fantastic and fun, both personally and professionally. You can do some great stuff with it, but it can turn on you. And if you're not very careful, it can turn on you in a minute and end up being very, very humiliating.
As we talk today, I want to talk about the power of this phone and how you can connect to the world, but also the world can see you. Catherine, almost every day there's a news story or we've got a video we're posting, whether it's on an airline flight or at a Home Depot. There's something out there that's causing a stir. Professionally, it can be a problem if they're taping
Indeed.
You while you're handling a situation
Indeed.
Or a private thing, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, every day we're seeing situations where people are finding themselves absolutely humiliated online somehow and not knowing exactly how to handle it. And it is very heartbreaking. And there is one topic. I'm covering a whole bunch of topics mm-hmm. when it comes to this on my website, catherinebosley.com. And there is one topic right now that is really in the news, and it really should be. It's revenge porn. So I put an article on my website on it, and it was just published, actually, in Ms. Magazine. So here's the deal with this, and here's something that everybody needs to think about.
This shocked me.
Yeah.
This shocked me.
It
Explain
shocked me,
this.
Too. The stats are that 1 in 25 females will fall victim to this. And 25% of them are actually underage and so scared they don't know what to do or who to tell. But even the most shocking part of this is you don't even have to have compromising photos out there somewhere taken by yourself or by someone else. There's actually a forum on the internet where people can go and Photoshop pictures like someone's face onto a naked body and then upload them onto one of these websites that are all about revenge porn. And of course, typically revenge porn is about, you know, someone who has pictures, compromising pictures mm-hmm. of usually it's an ex-partner,
some relationship
spouse,
that went bad or whatever,
right? Yeah. And then yeah. they decide they're mad at this person yeah. and they put them up there on the web for all to see. I mean, it is not illegal right now. For the most part. However, there is a woman in Youngstown. She's fighting back. She is a victim. She went before Ohio lawmakers with State Senator Joe Schiavone last mm-hmm. week, asking for laws to crack down on what really is becoming something that is so detrimental to people. I mean, it is even deadly for some people because, like so many things on the internet, once you're embarrassed and humiliated, sometimes it feels like your only escape is suicide. So what we're trying to do here, raising awareness in the first place, and this woman's attempt at fighting back with her group, which is called Battling Against Demeaning and Abusive Selfie Sharing, is basically to let people know that they're not alone and that there are people there to help them fight through something like this.
Catherine Bosley is with me. Her website, we've got linked up at WTAM.com and CatherineBosley.com. She's working on the book Bare Facts, more about her story that'll be out sometime in the future. You know, as a parent is listening this morning, driving to, it might be a great time, as you and I are having this conversation, any parent has a kid with a phone, it's a great reminder sometimes to pull them aside and have a serious conversation about what the phone is there for,
right.
what it's not there for.
Right.
You know what they're doing sometimes.
Right.
Yet
exactly.
you hear a story like this as a parent, it's, hey, I want to sit you down and see what can happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I am so, so big on telling people, watch every bit of what's in a picture that's being taken of you. See what's there, you know, and you see so many people are posting pictures even with alcohol in their hands and so forth. And, you know, in the long run, that can come back and really bite you. And I'm really adamant about making sure that people understand the consequences that could come back.
We've had so many stories about, you know, you apply for a job anymore. You start doing a Google search on somebody, and you can, right or wrong, you can see where they've been, where they've posted, what they're doing. And it in a way, it can show a very unfair, maybe, profile of a person.
You know, I completely agree with you. People say a picture's worth a thousand words. But you know what? There's 1,001 words, because you don't know what led up to that picture and what that situation was. And like my situation, where I ended up being infamous on the web, no one really understood the whole backstory to that story. And so when pictures are out there, you just never know what they're going to relay, the message that they're going to relay. And it's very important for everybody to understand what the possibilities really could be with that.
A great reminder, whenever you take and you click, it may be going somewhere that you don't intend.
And
so
always
be aware.
Be out there. Always in cyberspace.
Well said. Catherine Bosley, she is at catherinebosley.com. Look for the book, too, Bare Facts, as it comes out soon. Great advice. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
It's Tribe Time, but no longer Chief Wahoo Time with the franchise. Let's talk about it. Great column this morning from Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Cleveland.com, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year and graduate of Benedictine, and with us this morning, Indians owner Paul Dolan, speaking to Terry about this decision. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Great column this morning, Plain Dealer and at Cleveland.com. He told you it was really the toughest decision they've had to make, huh?
Yeah, I have to admit it surprised me a little bit, but of course, I've kind of saw this coming for years and years, but I think... Paul Dolan was weighing the history here, and he was feeling clearly pressure from Major League Baseball. And it's funny now, even those who wanted to get rid of Chief Wahoo now is being criticized. Well, why didn't they just do it right now? Why is there a year grace period, this or that? And I think there are others on the other side. They want to dump a nickname. Some people want to have the Chief Wahoo Police and, you know, shake down everybody coming in, what they're wearing. This issue, you think the whole world revolved around it.
You really do, Terry. And I've had some interesting texts already calling it, hey, it's a great compromise where neither side is happy, or another, it's an ultimate hypocrisy, you know, where you're not going to have the players wearing the logo anymore, but you'll still sell the merchandise to fans in the stands.
Yes, I don't think it. My guess is there won't be a whole lot of stuff available. That had to do with keeping the copyright, because they really were concerned. Not just with, you know, picking up a few extra bucks from T-shirts, but if they let it go, somebody else then grabs it and they could do anything they want with the image. And I'm sure they sat around a bunch of business people trying to brainstorm and protect themselves. My guess is Major League Baseball is not going to want the Indians to have 14 Chief Wahoo stands selling stuff at the ballpark. So let's get real about that.
Well, you look at this. It is a very emotional subject. Growing up here, Terry, I know you did too. I mean,
sure. It
was part of our fabric when we associate ourselves with the Indians as fans. And I get all of that. Jerry Seinfeld said we only cheer for laundry now. Well, that laundry gets personal here. Yet I do understand there's been so many protests over the years, and obviously this has really upset many across the country.
I mean, I guess my feeling about 20-some years ago when I went to, and I've been on several Indian reservations since, but, you know, would I wear a Chief Wahoo hat on Wind River Indian Reservation in Wyoming or some of the ones I went to in South Dakota? The answer is no, I wouldn't. The interesting thing out there, I don't hear big objections to the name. You know, for example, one of the biggest newspapers and reservations in the country is called Indian Country Today. So I'm glad they didn't get into the whole name thing. And I do understand, too, for some people, it's just a cause to yell about. But I happen to believe I actually like compromises. In a true compromise, not everybody is happy with everything, but a lot gets done in the right direction. And I thought that's what happened here.
Now, of course, the All-Star game is going to be here. And now, from your conversation with Paul, he said that he didn't feel that it was a threat, that it would be not given here or taken away.
That's what he said.
From Major League Baseball, from Rob Manfred.
Right. I'm saying that's what he said.
Yeah.
What implicitly, or what was implied, who knows?
Yeah.
And I do think that, what has happened, too, with the Indians becoming good and being on national TV as much, I think that Major League Baseball felt more pressure to try and change the logo and so on. So that was another factor there. I mean, in the end, the logo was going to be changed at some point. And even Paul Dolan realized that. I mean, they've been moving. Oh, remember, they had the Indian's eye for a while and everything else. I am curious because they're going to have to put something on the shoulder in 2020, some sort of patch. I don't think the block C is what's going to end up there.
Right. Be interesting to see what they do. Well, I mean, timing's everything. You got Tony going into Cooperstown, so this is now a side story that's no longer a story. I mean, everybody's been wanting this thing to go away for different reasons, too.
Right. Yeah. And I think it will die down some. So we'll see.
All right, I'll still walk around Goodyear with my Wahoo. No one said a word, but that's just me. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Great column this morning as Paul talked to him about the decision. Terry, thanks, pal.
Take care, guys.
Be good.
Well, good morning, Bill. And again, his theme will be a stronger, safer, prouder America. I think he's going to talk about many of the accomplishments of this past year, eliminating regulations, getting a tax plan passed. And then he's going to look to the future, infrastructure, and working across the aisle to get things done on the Affordable Care Act. A lot of things to talk about, but also a lot of accomplishments that I think are starting to come true. As you see, people's paychecks will be larger this year. The stock market's growing, which affects everyone's 401k plan. And then I think he'll turn a little bit to the opioid crisis and also his concerns about getting an infrastructure bill. That'll be a big issue going forward.
Let me get you to the business of the country. You mentioned the stock market. On average, the Dow, other markets up. Dow's up, I think, over 44% since President Trump was elected. We've seen another surge also since that tax bill was signed into law, something you worked, I know, a lot on. And that has really played out in the business community, right?
Well, absolutely. What the tax bill did was it allows corporations to compete worldwide. It's going to give people back, the average family of four, somewhere between $1,000 and $2,000. And don't let any talking points take anybody's eye off the ball. $1,000 to $2,000 getting back is more, as a lot of money for people, especially when the average American, 60% of Americans only have $1,000 in their bank account. This is going to be a big boom to them, and it's going to help grow America, which is important.
Yeah, I'm amazed. People that voted against that, and every day or two you see yet another announcement from a large corporation publicly saying, look, we're bringing money back. We know the future is bright. So that trickle down that so many people hate to hear about has worked out, I think.
Well, and again, Bill, I don't call it trickle down as much as I call it competitions. Companies in the United States have to be able to compete worldwide now. When you have a 35% tax rate compared to an 8% or 11% tax rate in other countries, it's hard to compete. This gives the United States the opportunity to compete, to grow jobs, and to stay here, which is so important.
Congressman Jim Renacci with a preview of the State of the Union address. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Joining us, NBA coaches, analyst, of course, for the Yes Network, TNT, joins us this morning. Our morning Cavs update with the coach, brought to you by Metro Lexus. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. Let me ask you this. Detroit's struggling. They had to make a trade. Winning two in a row seems a challenge right now for the Cavs. But I kept seeing and hearing the word fun the other night in that game. Could you see and feel that some, maybe?
I saw it after the game, actually, walking out of the arena. I saw a number of the guys going out the back where they have their cars parked. And the camaraderie after the game between three or four of them showed that they were happy to get away with the win. You know, it was 3.5 quarters. It was an even game, basically, Bill. And then in the last 7 minutes, they opened that thing up when Corver hit a three and a couple other guys chipped in and they got defensive stops. So I think there's a lot of pressure. And the guys were feeling it because of the disappointing play over the last couple of weeks. And to sneak out with that one, knowing the team had lost 7 games in a row going into that, I think that let them feel good knowing they had to face Detroit again tonight.
Mike, when you look at this team, we can always say they're capable of playing harder. But when you look at the group collectively, are they capable of really playing good defense?
They are, if you play hard. And I think they played hard last game. The game before that, fourth quarter, was a little questionable. But last game, basically, they came in and played hard in the building. And you can get better defensively. It's so many small things, Mike, at the defensive end of the floor, starting out with your body position, your stance, which seems like the simplest, most ridiculous thing to say. But if you're not in a stance, you can't play the game of basketball with your knees straight. Game of basketball is played with your knees bent, and that's at the offensive end and the defensive end. So all of that positioning,
getting in the paint where you're supposed to be to help cut off people who are diving, rotating, covering for your teammate, all the rotations to cut, chase the people off the three-point line. Those small things all add up to being big mistakes in the NBA, and you pay the price, particularly with the three-point line nowadays.
When you look at this team now, Mike, and Isaiah Thomas, I thought, really had a great third quarter. He was a big reason why they were able to take a lead into the fourth, but then he doesn't play in the fourth, and there's a question there. Is fitting him in with LeBron on the floor, is it like a square peg into a round hole for Coach Lou?
Well, think about this also, Mike. Now you compound it more because Wade hasn't been there the last two games. So that would have been a rotation guy that Teron Lou would have had to think about also. If Wade does return for tonight's game after the death of his agent, that's another major piece that you have to think about, who's playing down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I think for Isaiah, it was something that had gone back to the game before. He did not play all that well in the fourth quarter. When the Cavs didn't play that well either in the fourth quarter. So Toronto didn't want to let that game slip away, and he felt the group that was out there was playing well. And the kind of an interesting combination that was out on the floor, particularly down the stretch when you see, you know, Corver's out there, and then, you know, you want him for his shot-making ability. Fry, I thought, inserted and responded by getting the minutes, the opportunity. When you look at what's going to happen with that second unit, you got Rose, Wade if he's back, Crowder, Korver, and Fry. And then you've got to worry about, are you taking Isaiah in or out at critical moments? Do you want him opposite of LeBron so they both get their chances of handling the ball and not having to give it up to the other guy too often? These are big problems for the head coach.
Good take, Mike Fratello. Good stuff. Tonight it's Cavs and Pistons. Cavs now with Nick Camino at 7 o'clock. They'll tip it off from Detroit. 8 on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Back here against Miami tomorrow night, and then Houston on Saturday. Coach, thanks. Have a good day.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Complete Cavaliers coverage now on News Radio, WTAM 1100. The Detroit Pistons yet again. Mike Snyder, 8 o'clock in Detroit this time. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Jim Jones. Joined us, he and John Michael will call it tonight. It makes the prep a little bit easier, guys, right, Jim? If you're, I mean, back to back with the same with the same team, right?
Yeah, it hurts my travel miles. You know that. You know,
I mean, I got you.
15 minutes, 20 minutes in the air, and we're down again.
But actually, we won't see Tobias Harris or Avery Bradley was out the other night, Jim. The Pistons making a big move, but it's about the Cavs as we talk about them. Jim, what did you see the other night from the Cavs? A lot's been made about the fact that they actually looked like they were having some fun out there. What did you see?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what Kevin Love said. He said he had fun. I've never had fun till after the game when I became reflective on what we had done if we had won. But on defense, you know, Mike, they've had so many defensive issues. And on defense, you can't stop everything, but you got to be good at stopping the things that teams do most often. And what do teams do against us? They play at a fast pace. And they get up and down the floor. So our transition defense, I thought, was better. You know, it had some breakdowns, but I thought they were better. But I also thought the thing that really helped us was our rebounding. And you can only rebound if you get stops. I just thought our rebounding was good. I think we out rebounded them by one. But well, one is important. That's an extra possession. So we're getting better. We're getting there, guys.
Jim, it's always about did you win the game. Third quarter, Isaiah Thomas really did some good things, probably his best minutes since he's been here, and
yes,
got the Cavs to the lead. Then he doesn't play in the fourth. He's asked about it afterwards. What are your thoughts about that situation?
Hey, give Lou a big hand. You know, because he's not playing to these guys' egos. He's playing to win the game. He put his best two or three players back on the floor with a couple of low mistake bench players and down the stretch. And that's what you got to do as a coach. You got to watch those first three quarters, see who's playing well, see who's playing together, see who's not turning the ball over, you know, who's in the, and then in that fourth quarter, Mike, you know this, you know, it's LeBron time. And I thought LeBron played outstanding. You know, he got the ball out of his hands early in the fourth, so he was able to find open people. He was in the post, you know, he had the post up, he was in attack mode. This might have been the best fourth quarter he's had in a long time. But I give Lou credit, you know, for not worrying about egos and this, but putting the five best players on the floor that could close that game.
What about getting the rotation cohesively together? They've had a lot of moving parts. Isaiah just returning at the beginning of this month, Jim. Dwayne Wade's been away the last couple of games. I believe he's expected back tonight. He's really got almost 10 players or 11 that he's been using. How do you see that playing out?
Well, Mike, I get your drift. You know, it's got to shrink he's got to shrink it, you know, and he's got to go with his best players plus his best low mistake bench players. We can't have our bench coming in there making a lot of mistakes. So far, our bench has been good, but I don't know if we can keep playing five bench players and doing what we have to do. I think teams are playing on us now. You know, the ideal situation is to have your best players in the game when they have their bench players in the game. And we haven't gotten back to that. Remember, we used to do a lot of that last year and the year before. So, but this is a different team, a different style of play. Everybody's making adjustments, but I thought Lou did an outstanding job.
Good take, Jim Jones. He and John Michael will call it tonight. Cavs Now starts our coverage at 7. The tip from Detroit, 8 o'clock on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Home of the Cavaliers. Have a good, quick flight back in Miami here tomorrow night. Right, Jim?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, partner.